You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh, hello there. Hi, everybody. Sorry, Jim, I stole it to you from a sec. Good morning. You're all on Wake Up Tucson, the final Tuesday of the month of September. We're cruising into a...
August, sir.
That's that one. Labor Day weekend. College football. International soccer is already... European soccer has already gotten going, so I'm okay with that. U of A is going to play New Mexico on Saturday night, 11:30 in the evening start. And playing a New Mexico team that lost to an NAU rival by 13. On Saturday, so
score the last 21 points for them too.
That's true.
Bronco Mendenhall.
Go Lobos.
Bronco Mendenhall.
Is that Rothschild's alma mater for law school? Was
one
New Mexico?
he, as they say, he was a well-traveled veteran in college.
A storied college career.
Love him. He's my friend.
Tommy boy.
Give him a hug. Long hug. Oh,
we do have the folks on from Heritage Foundation coming up about,
It's midday for them, isn't it?
It's going to be midday. It actually has to do with an Arizona story. 7:30. Matthias is going to call at 7:30 and has to do with a situation with parents and schools. That we'll get to before it's over.
There haven't been any problems in this area over the past 4 years or so, have there?
One or 14.
God.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone in a local school district that has to remain nameless, and they were talking about there's like this, of course, we're always talking about me with literacy, right? And they were talking about some of these young kids.
Questioning if you are literate.
Okay, sure do.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No. But what's happening is, so they, there's a bunch of these kids that are rolling through that are third grade, and they're getting like almost classified as special ed, sped kids, but what they're trying to figure out is, I think their education was so damaged by not going to school.
Yeah, sure.
That they've almost basically they're bordering on sped kids when it comes to their learning ability, because they were just locked down and not doing anything for their first 4 years. So they're like in third grade, but they're at like kindergarten level.
Not surprising.
Right? Yeah. And then I figured the school makes them a sped kid because they get more money from the state.
Oh. Too.
That's possible.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
It is about that's Bruce Ash, by the way. I never even introduced you.
Hello there.
The mellifluous tones of Bruce Ash. And Bruce is going to do his top 10 movies in the third hour today.
Top so. 10 plus.
You are incorrigible with this
some
list.
Some of them all fit together.
Well, your first list you gave me had 48 movies on it, which was great.
Okay, so just for clarity's sake.
Yes.
These may not be the best movies ever made.
These are your movies.
But when they come on in one fashion or another, I always watch them.
Okay. No, I like your list.
And my wife makes so much fun of me. She says, you've seen this movie 40 times.
Sure.
Yeah, so what's your point?
I do all the time. So.
Guys are like that. I'm not sure females are quite like that.
Yeah, I don't know. No, but you're right.
It's not a knock on females. I'm just saying, I've seen that, right? So some of these movies, if I haven't seen them for a long time, I forget certain parts of it. I go,
there's like,
wow, that's really cool.
There's certain old movies. It's the same way, especially some World War II movies for me. Right, all of a sudden, I'm running on my DVR on my YouTube TV thing. I go, oh, When Eagles Dare, Where Eagles Dare with Clint Eastwood and Richard Burton. I'm like, I'm gonna watch that. My wife's like, you're watching this again?
Again?
He said, yes. She likes the movie, but she can't believe I'm watching. Same with Guns of Navarone. I don't know why I like Guns of Navarone.
That is weird because I never thought that was such a great movie.
I like that movie. And one of my favorite parts, there's a YouTube channel where they do the it's called the kill count of how many the bad guys die. And Clint Eastwood and when Eagles Dare, he can't miss, right? I mean, he kills like 190 people where Eagles Dare, right? Then the other one is, so you go through Navarone, right? And you got, you know, Anthony Quinn's pretty high in Navarone.
Sure.
Killing guys. But then remember David Niven's the explosives expert. So I'm going to ruin the movie at the end. When he blows up the whole mountain, the kill count goes. And David Niven wins the kill count.
So it's like a science fiction 3000 with kill counts.
Correct.
No snarky remarks, just kill counts.
Nope. Let's see. Greg Abbott announces Texas has cleaned up the voter rolls and removed 1 million ineligible voters in the state of Texas.
When does the lawsuit get filed against him?
That's true.
It's already there.
Hold on. Bruce gets an early ding on that one. Yes, sir.
Something like that is happening in Cochise County, I hear tell.
Really?
They're cleaning up voter records.
All right.
Mark
love
the
it.
Tape. Got the ding at 612.
Thank you. He did. What else are we going to do today?
And thank God for him for doing it.
Absolutely. We'll get to the details on that. We got Kamala wants to change the rules of the debate. She wants the Raheena Romero cheat sheet to read off of. So
that was not the deal. And they accused Donald Trump of changing the deal. It's like if they say something, if they say A, it's because they're doing it.
So I was watching a little clip from Ben Carson with Tucker recently. And Carson's a very intelligent guy, right?
Yeah, sure.
He talks amazingly slow, right?
And softly.
And
sort of like you. You have that in common.
But he had a good line, I thought. He said, when they're talking about the election, right, Tucker asked him if Trump could lose, right? And he says, yeah, he can lose, right? And he said, this is the ultimate battle between the power of the media take a previously universally disliked human being like Kamala Harris and turn her in, they're turning her into some sort of supernatural hero.
Right.
Right? So will the critical mass of American voters, are they dumb enough to buy the greatest media gaslighting in the history of the United States?
They're selling air. That's what they're selling, air. There's nothing there.
Yep. But that's the thing, right?
Right.
Right. And the Democrats they've built the Trump hate so hot.
Right.
Right.
No policy. It's just we hate Trump. We hate the orange man.
Yep. And so I thought that was, I think Dr. Ben nailed it. It's the media, right? Can they take a previously universally disliked human being with basically who is the worst failed upward politician in a long time?
Well, they've both failed up.
Right.
In their careers.
Correct.
Her more.
Zucker comes clean. Admits to Jim Jordan that Facebook did censor Americans at the behest of the Biden-Harris administration.
It only took him 4 years.
I think the whole Peter Thiel, PayPal crew, Elon, sound like Thiel had the discussion with Zuck and said, I need you to like stop being a jackass. You notice the Zuckerbucks aren't flowing for this election this year, right? And it's not like he has no money.
There's plenty of ways.
I understand, but not like they did. I don't think it's like they did before. Okay. The Arizona Auditor General releases a report on the missing Santa Cruz County funds.
Ooh.
There's a few details that are just kind of funny. KOLD does a story from the Dudster about Tucson and RTA money. And dear KOLD, this is your second spelling mistake in like 3 days. You don't spell feud, F-U-E-D. Okay, that's not Elmer Fudd or food. It's F-E-U-D is how you spell feud. So
they never watched Family Feud on TV?
Right.
Survey says.
They already had a spelling mistake on the headline in the last four. What was it? I'm trying to remember. It'll come back to me. So anyway, we got that. We'll go through that. Valerie Cavazos does real reporting again on TUSD. about, it looks like they might have been fudging their attendance records.
Oops. Missed it by that much.
And who's the only elected official at TUSD willing to come on the air to talk to Valerie Cavazos?
Val Romero.
Val Romero. There you go. Look at you. Look at special guy.
6:16. Four minutes in between.
And Gabe Trujillo refuses to come on air with her. He's only sending out written... So Gabe is starting to
He's in the basement with Kamala.
He's in the basement with Kamala, yes. And Matt was making a chicken wings thing in the back, calling him a chicken.
Bark.
8 o'clock. Speaking of that, here's a transition for you. So we got Double Food Friday on Friday. We have...
This is No Food Tuesday, right?
You get crap.
Okay.
Dan Bryce from Bryce...
You barely got coffee today.
Dan Bryce from later. Bryce Farms will be on at 7.
Nice.
With the Chili's. He's coming in with Dr. Neil.
Oh, good.
Okay. And then the Chicken King, the Gizzard Wizard himself, Josh Jacobson, will be here. And he did tell me, Matt and everyone, if Bruce... You're not going to get it. I'm sorry. You're okay. Not going to be here. I'm sure you're not even going to be in town on Friday.
I won't be.
That's right. He is going to go hit the fryer right before he gets here.
Oh.
And bring the super terrific family pack.
Oh.
Barney, do not show up unannounced.
I can't tell you how many Sunday dinners growing up we had, the family feast.
There it is. Patty was saying the same thing. The family feast is part of growing up.
A chicken and a shrimp and a pop-size gizzards.
Ugh. The old gizzards. So we have the Gizzard Wizard, and then there's the Lizard Wizard, which is takes some of Matt and I's. He helps us with the rats that work the transmitter here at the KVOI.
You know, it's been much better recently.
Well, it hasn't rained as hard.
Oh, well.
So not much. Once that rain hits the wheel that the gerbils are on, trouble. If it gets windy, it blows the gerbil right off the wheel. They're not as stable as they used to be. Story by Andrew Christensen at KGUN 9. We'll talk about crime tax in Rahina's Tucson.
Right.
Shooting near Speedway and Swan impacts Midtown businesses.
That's like students come back to U of A, business goes up in restaurants. God, why should that be a surprise?
West Side parkgoers surprised over tree vandalism. We got that going for us. We might get to the lady at the surprise city council who got basically, because she was making comments about the city attorney, the mayor didn't like it and told her if she keeps doing that, he's going to kick her off the thing and had her arrested at the podium in front of her kid. So that was kind of hot. We'll get to that. And then Carrie Lake, special gal. So the Arizona Police Association, last week went on stage with Donald Trump in Glendale and endorsed him over Kamala. And then yesterday they endorsed Ruben Gallego over Carrie Lake. And
Mayday.
What's going to happen is Carrie shot her mouth off about a certain sheriff in a forum they were in, and it's came back to haunt her. So I know we're all in shock. So let's go to break. It's 6:20 in the morning. Bruce Ash, Christy Simone. So our friend Kurt Schmidt took it to heart, our one band versus the other, and he did the work. And so Boston versus Foreigner is going to be the playlist today. So good job, Kurt. Wake up. 6:24 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're also going to talk about, being the second hour, we're going to talk about the Chad Kazmar local opinion. And then KVOA did a story about his op-ed, which is interesting. It felt like the laziest reporting humanly possible by a TV reporter it's even lazier than me doing a show, for God's sakes.
That's saying something.
Well, and then it's also, what happens is like, what do they pull out and present from it, right?
Right.
And so the headline, because some people only read headlines, says Tucson police chief calling for red flag laws to be passed. And that's...
Well, because it fits their agenda.
You know, there has to come a time where we'll get to it when we get, talk about this, is he has to, I know he thinks he's, by playing nice with the mayor and the town city council, he's making incremental changes. But what I think what's happening is he's delaying the death by a thousand cuts.
Yes.
Right? And I've told him in person, I said, dude, just say the right thing. What happens? You get fired? What are you going to do? I go, you're going to get you can get hired anywhere else in the country for double the money. Right? I think he's a good police chief. I think he cares. Right?
And he wants to be in Tucson. This is his home.
I understand. That's all cute and stuff. But when do you stand up for your home? Right? And if it costs you your job, it costs you your job. I know he's negotiating with terrorists, making think that those incremental changes are going to make life better.
That's an apt description.
Right?
It is like...
And they'll just yep. eat you apart,
yep.
slowly but surely. Let's get to this Carrie Lake story real quick. This is from Ronald J. Hansen up at the Republic. Just days after endorsing Trump on stage in Glendale, the Arizona Police Association said Monday it's backing Ruben Gallego for the U.S. Senate seat. Represents thousands of law enforcement officers in Arizona, had endorsed Carrie Lake during her 2022, one of my favorite words, gubernatorial campaign, but praised Gallego for backing $168 million for police. Oh, part of ARPA crap, right? But the shift away from Lake, however, comes after Lake called her former Senate challenger Mark Lamb a total coward during the candidate forum in May.
You know, there may be a lot of descriptions of Mark Lamb that are out there.
Right.
Coward? Where does that come from?
Because he didn't step up to help her when she said she got wronged in the 2022 election. He didn't use his office as sheriff to find the wrongdoers that screwed her in Pinal County, I guess, in her election.
Was that his job?
No.
I didn't think so.
This is it. The thing is that she had nothing. Well, that's why she didn't want to have any more forums against against Mark. Right? That's why after she had that forum, where if you watched that forum between Lake and Lamb, you would have never chosen Lake in the primary. And she knows it. So when they had the statewide one that was on public television or whatever, the Broadcasters Association, Mark had to go on by himself. After she hated that Katie Hobbs did that to her.
Right.
Okay? Because her people said, do not get on camera with Mark Lamb ever again. And so when she saw that he was basically the adult in the room in that forum, that's the best she had. Oh, you're a coward. Right? Which, again, still doesn't answer why Kimberly Yee beat her by 125,000 votes in the same election.
I mean, you have to look back at that and question your thinking, your strategy, your philosophy when the state treasurer kicks your rear.
Yeah, I mean,
comparable vote counts.
I remember Kimberly Yee, I'll keep saying it again, she was on the same ballot with the same ink that had the same tabulator problems, but somehow
probably
she eked out
spaces down.
Right, and somehow she eked out an extra 125,000 counted votes. Right? She beat Abe Hamaday by 150,000 votes and beat Felice Navi Fraud, Happy Fraudber Day coming up for Mark Fincham, by like 200,000 votes in the same election. Let's stop with our, again, I keep saying it, we're our strong personalities. Just be a good human being. State your case in an intelligent and strong way. And stop telling me you're such a strong, and I'm also angry. Right?
There's a lot of anger there.
Well, they learned how to manipulate the anger to win primaries and to lose generals.
That's the problem.
Yep. We'll get there one day. All right. It's a little Boston as part of Kurt Schmidt's Boston v. Foreigner. Wake up. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. And I just wanted, so we got some great events coming up, but I do want, Margo sent me this from one of our listeners. I'm a Wake Up Tucson radio fan / listener. Bless you all for what you're doing for our vets. I hope this little amount will help. This is from Carol Ann. And Margo, you are one special person. I agree. And so that's an extra $500 on top of our $25,000 that has been raised so far for Honor Flight. So thank you to Cheryl and Carol Ann for the last two $5,500 worth of donations. We appreciate it. We're doing a, there's a memorial for Paul Marsh coming up a week from tomorrow. That's at the Marana.
Well deserved.
Yep. Memorial Cemetery coming up 12 noon on September 4th. 3 days later, Austin Vanderhaden and I, Darth Vanderhaden and I, will be at the Northwest Republican Association meeting up at the Gaslight Music Hall in the Valley of Gold on Oracle Road. And it's open to the public. You have to RSVP to show up. It doesn't cost you anything, but you have to be on the list to show up to get in there. And you got it. That's info at northwestrepublicans.com or org, probably com though. And Austin and I are going to go through all of the 87 ballot
11,
propositions.
Just 11. Just. There's some stinkers, and then there's some winners.
Well, there's stinkers. There's conflicting ones.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's a headache, dude.
The battle of the propositions.
That And so that's the 7th, and then we're doing our happy hour at Copal at Williams Center.
You know, I need to get over there.
Yeah.
Because I've heard you talk about it. I when the owner was on the show,
yep.
I thought it was very interesting. That guy's he's a restaurateur.
Oh, yeah, his whole family. His dad started in Nogales, Sonora, and then moved up to Tucson so many years ago. And so they own El Merendero, which is one of my favorites on 12th and Drexel. And then again, the two on 6th and Irvington across from the rodeo, La Esquina and the other place. I keep forgetting his name. I apologize. And then we have this new Copal. And a bunch of Wakeys went. And actually, the nice thing that we heard back from the owners is they did Wake Up Tucson that week and a local TV station. And way more Wakeys showed up than anyone from the TV station.
Yeah.
So the Wakeys.
The 32 people. Yeah.
Well, Justine was right. All right. 32 of you are swarming the city.
Right.
So
you know, I always bag on Texas Mexican food, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in San Antonio on business a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
One of the people in our group say, let's go to this Mexican restaurant. I'm like, oh, Hannah, please. This is going to suck beyond belief, right? I knew I was going to have a great taco when I could hear the Norteño music from the street.
Ah.
Okay. And then walked in. Oh my goodness gracious. Tripas, al pastor, carne asada, abadara, everything.
Nice.
And hot. It was great. And the music was going. The Mexican Coca-Cola was flowing.
Beautiful.
I was in heaven.
Nice. I'm always glad because whenever I go to another city and one of my buddies wants me to take me to their Mexican place,
uh-huh.
I'm always disappointed. So
yeah.
Like yeah. I had buddies in Colorado Springs like, oh, wait, this is our place. This is Mexico. And I would have told you it was, you know, worse than on the border. And, but God bless them. They tried. So, but so here's San Antonio, right? They're run by Democrats.
Yep.
Right? It's got similarities to Tucson
lots.
In a variety of ways.
Yeah, lots.
So give me the Bruce Ash side-by-side comparison right now, 2024, of doing business, infrastructure of San Antonio compared to the oldest Pueblo humanly possible.
Well, there's no question that the infrastructure is much, much stronger.
Right.
The freeway system there, all through Texas, they
always seem under construction, which is fine that
yeah.
they're fixing it.
So they've benefited through their congressional delegation having the kind of clout that they do for years and years.
Yep.
They benefited by important things that were going on there that they capitalized on. So the infrastructure in terms of roadways is great. It's amazing. San Antonio is not probably a little around the size of Tucson, right? Their airport is humongous. And what I heard was very interesting. I never knew this before because my flights are usually delayed going in or leaving.
Thank you.
Anytime there is a GI who has returned from a theater who has died, they stop because they share some field with the Air Force. Everything stops at the airport. Nothing lands. Nothing takes off. Everything stops.
Hmm.
T- tells you something about the soul of that city.
Sure.
When you have a military drive as one of the major thoroughfares there, I would say that the police presence is not what it could be, but the police presence that they have, these guys are tough, they're experienced, they do their job. I hardly saw any sign of homeless. And I usually stay by the airport, even though our project is way up in the northwest part of town.
Yep.
Because I just feel more comfortable in that area. But the cops there, I think, are pretty tough cops. They don't take any crap.
So obviously driving around, and our friend Sergio, he has family back in El Paso.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's telling me that even El Paso's kicking Tucson's. But Sergio, if you're listening, I'd love, give us a call and give us the El Paso connection comparison. Driving around, not as many Fenty heads
right.
walking around.
Right. I didn't see one person with that kind of the body that's like bent over
right.
and just like staring out into oblivion.
Right.
Not one.
Roads are fine.
The roads are pretty doggone good.
Okay.
And even on secondary roads, they're pretty doggone good.
So with the stuff that you own in there, do you have any sort of negative effects from homeless theft, anything like that? Or
there's not a homeless person that's within 5 miles of this place.
Gotcha.
And all around us are new homes.
What kind of development is it? Is it office? Is it
no? It's a retail. It's a multifamily property.
Oh, okay.
We're building 376 units there with a Florida company. Atlantic and Pacific Properties.
Okay.
And we're right next door to a 410-unit building. Lennar's in the area. U.S. Homes in the area. I mean, they're all in the area. And there are several centers of business activity, mid-rise and high-rise, all around town. I think they're going through the same metamorphosis with respect to shopping malls and retail and so on, as lots of other cities are. But wherever you go, there is new buildings, new stuff going on everywhere.
So what we're saying is, so you have a Democrat-run city.
Yeah, and right? Look, our partners are not fellow travelers with our crowd.
Right.
And even with them, though, it's been a little difficult to get done what they want to get done.
Gotcha. But what I'm saying is you can have a Democrat-run city that seems to take care of most of the basics.
I think so.
So what we're saying is in Tucson...
You don't have to be like this.
We've been saddled with the extra special Democrats is what you're telling me.
Yes, they're very special. In so many ways. I'll tell you off air about an encounter I had yesterday with a very, very sweet city inspector.
Wow. And you can't say it on the air. That's some story. Woof.
There's a hearing next week. I don't dare do it.
So even when you look at the little map dashboard thing, right, that they do at Eller, right, and you look at a place like San Antonio in relation to... the variety of metrics, right?
Sure.
They're usually kicking our butt on a lot of things, right? So let's see. Well, they're about $7,000 more median household income than Tucson.
And that buys you not just $7,000 more, it buys you a lot more because the cost of housing there is behind Tucson.
Really?
And the cost of living overall in Texas is cheaper.
Well. Let's see. This is, what's the next one? Analyze gross domestic products. Tucson, Albuquerque, San Diego. Oh, San Antonio. Okay. So growth rate of real GDP.
Yeah.
We're 1.9%. San Antonio is, I'm going to turn my head, 4.7.
Not surprising.
Right, of GDP growth. And it goes back to my, I bombed out that poor, off the charts poor from the Tucson Weekly from 2011.
Yeah.
The money quote in there, and this is again from 2011. It's never gotten better since 2011. It's got to probably, I would argue worse, right?
It is worse.
Right. That in that article written by Dave Devine and Molly McCassin.
Yikes.
Okay. Mildly to the left. Okay. Adjusted for inflation in 2011, 39 years, the average pay of Tucsonans hasn't changed. The actual take-home pay for Tucsonans, adjusted for inflation over 39 years, hadn't changed. Stagnant.
Keep them uneducated and unable to move up.
I mean, this
they
is...
They want people to depend upon. All they're interested in is keeping their damn power.
When we talk about the rise of Volge, right, and then Grijalva Ekstrom through the Pima County Board of Supes and all of their buddies... That's the scoreboard moment. I didn't write this. Molly McCassin wrote that, for God's sakes.
That's when Tucson's plane crashed.
Yeah. You know, and we had Tim Steller going after me and Joe and Strobeck because of the IBM story, right, of getting chased out of town. Right. They got chased out of town.
They got chased out of town. Nobody denies it, knows anything that was going on. They screwed them. Who screws IBM like that?
Only us.
Who screws it? Only us. Do you think people now? Look, there's a lot of new, younger people running corporations around the country.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't know about that, they get off the plane and they get here and they see what they see and they go, why would anybody want to be here?
I mean, so think about where we're at right now when it comes to economic development. It's so sad, and we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, that Laura Shaw at the Sun Corridor sent that press release out last week for a recycling plant that's going to hire 25 people.
Major news.
25 people. We lost 25 jobs just in the last hour in this place.
Yeah, they're just showing up for work now and getting their pink slip.
I'm just saying, right? So when you're the Sun Corridor getting $600,000 of taxpayer dollars, and you're getting so desperate to have any good news story that we have a 25-job recycling plant announcement, like you scored something, we got issues.
You know what we have? We have blue skies,
right,
and we have the mountains. And beyond that, not much.
So the one thing that we always have done a horrible job at is there's really a cool historical culture to Tucson.
There is.
Right? But what happened was, instead of trying to get it out there and have people come from all over the world to experience at its max,
push it away.
We either push it away, or if you're someone trying to help that and you're somehow not some sort of indigenous Hispanic human being, somehow you're appropriating the stuff. Right? I got into this. How many times I've had this discussion with people in and around Tucson, Meet Yourself, right? So it's this amazing food festival. It's an international food festival. Right. There's because of, you know, where Tucson is, we have probably because of all the freebies with all the nonprofits, we have a lot of refugees who come here.
That's true.
Right? And I will tell you that is one of the coolest cross-section of culinary stuff you can go to in Arizona.
Yeah. It's a good thing, yeah.
Right? So I've always said, can we market that out as an international Tucson Meet Yourself International Food Festival and market it outside of Tucson, right? Stay at a hotel, go do the food festival, blah, blah, blah. And I've been told by organizers, oh, we're not doing that. We don't want any part of that. Well, why? That's not what Big Jim wanted.
If I hear, that thinking is so pervasive around Tucson. Oh, we tried that once. Oh, no. We like it the way it is. We're not going to change anything.
It reminded me of TJ and I with Greyline. We used to do business with the Apache Gold up in the San Carlos reservation. And we were always, there were some of the more forward-thinking folks at the tribe who wanted to try different things. But once we want to do a thing where we would be bringing tours up, right? Of course, they're going to hit the casino while they're there.
Sure.
But let's do something food and art-wise or something like that, right? And so the younger people, we've talked, oh, that's great. But we got to run it up the pole to the council, the tribal council. And it always came back, no, they don't want to share, basically, was the answer coming back, right? We're staying in our little We're not going to poison our thing with sharing it with the outsiders. That's Tucson, right?
Right.
Right. And so I'm sitting there going, if think about this, if you and we still don't have a Mexican food festival. Now we're working on it. Okay, we're getting there. We got the America's best Mexican food city. Now I'm going to use this as a shame thing. How we don't have a Mexican food festival if we're the best. We're working on it, though, which is good.
And, all right. And some very, very creative restaurateurs.
Right.
Chefs.
We do.
They're not just cooks. They're chefs.
We have an amazing cross-section of chefs here that also like to work together on things. There is a esprit de corps amongst Tucson's chef community that I don't see present in other places. They really like each other. There's always a pain in the butt one way or the other, but they really do like working with each other and doing these cool things. So that's a step in the right direction. Yeah. But think about this. How do you not get – you have an international food festival, right? And you can't get more DEI than that, right? And how do you not find some sort of corporate sponsor to come – sponsor that, right? And then you literally have people from across the country and possibly the world come to Tucson.
Some woke corporation someplace.
Come on. Apple. Let's get Apple. Well, that can't be Apple.
Meta.
Meta's better. Apple likes they still do slavery of Uyghurs to make your iPhones, so I'm telling you, man. I mean, it's one of our lost opportunities.
I agree.
Right, I would move it from October to November when it's a little cooler, right?
Yeah, October can still be kind of icky.
Yep, but I'm telling you, we could do the most kick-ass international food festival.
And the out-of-towners are here starting in November.
Correct. We'll figure it out one day.
We're going to play it out.
Rahina's listening to the show right now, and she's going to change her ways.
Taking notes furiously.
Kevin Dahl's taking notes while he's cleaning the pool. All right, 6:51 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. We're almost ready. Wake up. 6:54 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We're just talking about... We started off kind of talking about Tucson's typical crap after Bruce gave us a great comparison with San Antonio. And then we said, hey, we kind of brought it back to what's left of our strengths.
Yeah.
Right? You said blue sky
Go
mountains.
To your strengths.
Right? That's why I keep pushing the best Mexican food city because we got it.
Right.
Right? We got it. Let's get Sergio on the line real quick. I asked him to call for the El Paso comparison. Bienvenidos. Good morning, my friend. What's the El Paso Tucson comparison right now?
Yeah, it's. I'm a native born El Pasoan, so my family's been there a long time. So I've seen it change in the time that we've been here in Tucson. El Paso's gotten and put in high gear and been moving as fast as they can, building new freeways, new developments, new houses, new everything. I mean, they built a brand new freeway around their downtown in the time it took them to widen Broadway.
That's true.
And they're doing the same thing. They're just constantly building and expanding the freeways. My family used to live on far west El Paso in a small farming town. Yeah, it's a suburb now that compares to parts of, I would say, North Phoenix. I mean, it looks the power centers, the building, the houses. I mean, they built a Cabela's near the house, and we're like, well, that's new, near the family home. So it is ridiculous, and it's just like, why? It's like I took my wife, and we went exploring recently, and she was just asking, we have so many natural beauties in Tucson. How are we not capitalizing? How are we struggling? And then she sees El Paso, and it's like, my God, they're forward-thinking. I mean, they're Democrats, right? They are Democrats. But if you look at downtown El Paso, it's not even a comparison. You know, it's crazy.
Does downtown El Paso have retail?
Oh, yeah. You can't. There's a south of downtown El Paso, well, southern downtown. It's just packed full of businesses. I mean, we drove by on a Saturday, and it was people walking all over downtown, walking in and out of the store.
Uh-oh. We lost. I assume that's on his side. So, well... Rahina's phone interfering machine finally nailed.
I think they put they put the kibosh on his call. They have this power beam goes right to calls it'll like hearing.
It's funny. I'm going on the downtownelpaso.com site, right? and it actually has something called the Shops on the Border in El Centro. You could never do this in Tucson. Open air market style shops line the streets of El Centro.
Yikes.
They would have 50% of the product would be missing if they didn't. Right. Is he back? All right. Let's get Brushfire back on. Sergio, we'll take you after the hour if you want to call back. Brushfire, what's shaking?
Get the trifecta, man.
Happy Taco Tuesday, though. All right, let's run some holidays, and then we'll, as I say, we'll run out the clock here at Wake Up Tucson. Let's see. It's National Petroleum Day. So
petroleum jelly or just petroleum?
All petroleum.
Okay.
All petroleum and petroleum-related products. Tarzan Day. So
I used to be able to do a mean Tarzan. Not anymore.
The Johnny Weissmuller days I know they tried to do a Tarzan movie a few years ago again. It's played out. It's over.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Disney hasn't done a Tarzan environmental wacko one.
Right.
Needs to happen. That's what I would think. I think they're missing it. World Rock Paper Scissors Day. It's let's see what else we got here. National Banana Lovers Day.
I'm a banana man myself.
It's you can't beat a banana. What else do we got here? Just Because Day. And then it's National Pots de Creme Day. So
that's something to look forward to.
Basically, they're little custard suckers is what they are. So, yeah, pots de creme. We have those over at the AD's office in the morning for breakfast. So, all right. Our phones have been blown up, and Matt is putting new gerbils inside the telephones right now. So, sometimes they don't fit. They've got there's a little junk in the caboose, as they say. So, Matt's really ramming it in there. So, see if we can get those phones back up.